the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number four Betting Across America presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross, rather, alongside Wes Reynolds right here as we've been watching Baylor and Oklahoma State. Right now, 21-16 after that field goal is good for the Cowboys. It's a game you feel like Baylor's had won 12 different ways, but they still haven't won it yet.
Yeah, Mike Gundy kicking that field goal to make it 21-16. I mean, he's kicking his way into the Alamo Bowl Not into the college football playoff because Baylor does have first and 10. Baylor's still being aggressive, though. They're not exactly running the ball as the quarterback takes a sack there. So 7-14 left to go, 21-16 Bears.
Who wants to win this game? We're going to find out because right now both these offenses stuck in reverse.
You know what? And I don't want to besmirch your programs if we have alums listening for these two respective schools. Notre Dame in the playoff looking better all the time instead of these two teams.
For the first time today, let's go over to Mandalay Bay and welcome in Ben Falks, the VP of Digital Content here at VSiN. Ben, boy, keep watching this game here. I wonder what's the tone and tenor like over there? Are you seeing a lot of nervous either Baylor backers and or Oklahoma State?
Yeah, guys, a lot of nervous Oklahoma State backers, I would say, judging by the cheers when Baylor missed that field goal before and the consternation at those play calls at first and goal at the one-yard line before for Oklahoma State, as well as kicking that field goal, which I think is a pretty much assures you're not covering if you took Oklahoma State pregame here, -5.5, -6, somewhere in that range. You're in a really tough spot right now, but generally, the public on Oklahoma State in this game across the nation and definitely here at Mandalay Bay, a lot of nervous backers behind me.
Yeah, and we just had another potential turnover here. Oh, my goodness.
Dodged a bullet.
This is insanity every time. We just heard the roar over Ben's shoulder there at Mandalay Bay. We heard a similar here at Circa. I mean, these offenses right now, you want your defense on the field.
Well, and can I say something? I was wanting to jump in. I wanted to bring in Ben into the program, but Baylor is like snapping the ball with 13 seconds left on the play clock.
I don't get it.
Okay. I don't mind, okay, we're not going to run the ball every play and just be totally conservative with the play calling, but for God's sakes, run the time down to about 5 or 6 seconds. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I don't understand. 4th and 26, the ball is going to go back to Oklahoma State here, and I know Mike Gundy's probably going, yeah, see, that's why I kicked the field goal.
Yeah, see, shut up, Reynolds. What the hell do you know?
No, I was absolutely right there with you. When you have 4th and goal at the 3 and you're down by 8 points in the fourth quarter, when it's hard to get points, you got to go for that touchdown in that scenario. Let's see what happens here. Ben, let's get back to you very quickly here at Mandalay Bay as we kind of just set the tone for the rest of the afternoon. Obviously, the game of the day in the SEC, we believe will be the game of the day, is Georgia against Alabama. What are you seeing so far as I got to assume the public feels like they're on Georgia today. What are you seeing over there at Mandalay Bay?
Yeah, this is a fascinating game. First of all, I'm really excited just to watch this game. I think especially in college football, right, you're always kind of coming down and hoping that certain teams face off later in the season. You don't have the cupcake games earlier in the season, don't mean anything. Now we have Alabama and Georgia, a terrific matchup and really a fascinating spread as well. We kept talking about this throughout the season. What would this be? Would it be Georgia? I think earlier the first spread, I want to say it was from the Westgate, a hypothetical was like Georgia -1, -1.5 on a neutral field. Circa opened it, Georgia -3. Now we're all the way up to Georgia -6.5. And the public is all over Georgia here. This is the most bet game, as you would expect. Most bet Georgia, the side, in terms of the overall handle and the number of tickets. And it's hard to blame them, right? At the same time, there's just something in the back of your mind that's saying, man, I'm getting 6.5 points with Nick Saban and Alabama. And remember last week, Jameson Williams out for most of that game with targeting. So even though they struggled to beat Auburn, kind of was a different offense. They'll have their full complement of weapons back, I believe, for this game. It should be a great one. And the public all over Georgia right now, we've seen it touch 7 a little bit at some books. There has been some buyback on Alabama at that number, but really 6.5 most of the places right now.
So, Ben, let's go to the other 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific game against that SEC game. That's the American Championship game in Nippert Stadium. Cincinnati going to get Houston in their home crib. Seeing basically 10.5. It's pretty much been 10.5 all week. What have you seen so far at BetMGM or around the books with the betting patterns on this one?
Yeah, this is another interesting one. It's been more Cincinnati, I'd say. This one is definitely more split. than the SEC championship game. I think people see, right, Cincinnati, you kind of figure they're win and they're in, or if they win and they're not in, then there's some serious questions about the college football playoff committee. But this is more of a mixed one because Houston still has that good offense. I know Scott Seidenberg has bet on them a lot over the course of this season. That's a team he really likes. But this is one that's been a little more mixed in terms of tickets and handle.
What about Iowa against Michigan in the Big Ten title game here? And it feels like all the steam's coming in on the maize and blue, Ben. And first of all, do you see a lot of Michigan jerseys over there at Mandalay Bay?
Not a ton of Michigan jerseys, I will say. Actually, a lot of Utah jerseys. Oh. I think they're wearing them proudly after
the beatdown. Popping their collars after last night.
Exactly. That's one of those where you pack the jersey and you hope the next morning you're going to be able to wear it around the sports book, and they certainly have been. So I'm not sure who they're betting today, but certainly very happy with that result. I think in the Michigan, the Big Ten Championship, it's going to be a little probably of a pros and Joes with everyone looking, the public going to back Michigan, and I think the Sharps taking at a certain number, taking plus 11 or so on Iowa. It's just that Iowa offense really, it seems like if they get in a low-scoring game, right, they can hang within that number. But it could be a train kind of, going downhill there if Michigan gets an early lead and can kind of assert their will a little bit more. As we saw, Ohio State defense couldn't stop them. Now you have Iowa with a much worse offense, still a good defense. It seems like a lot of points, but I think the public is always going to, again, remember what they saw last, and that was Michigan beating Ohio State for the first time in the Jim Harbaugh era. Now they're facing an Iowa team that wasn't even necessarily going to be in the game. They're going to be okay laying that number.
And very quickly, want some give some updates out there in the MAC championship game. Boy, oh boy, but Rocky Lombardi, another touchdown run here as Northern Illinois all over Kent State. But you're getting those points in the second half here, Wes. So if people back that second half total to go over, we might be getting
there. Yeah, I need another garbage score here in the final 7 minutes because they do have 31 here for the second half. But an absolutely dominant performance from Northern Illinois. I have to give them credit. This is a Kent State offense, one of the top offenses in the country. They've got 221 yards with 7 minutes to go.
All right, we're going to be rejoined by Ben Faulks all afternoon over there at Mandalay Bay as these games pick up as the afternoon progresses. Right now, in the Big 12, a massive play here. They've got a 3rd and 7. Mike Gundy does from inside his own 30-yard line. We mentioned the time of the clock. We're inside of 5 minutes here. They're going to come up short. So we've been talking coaching here. What do you do here?
You know what? You're probably, as much as I like to say go for it, it's 4:30 left to go.
Oh, boy.
You do have 3 timeouts. Do you want to give this team a short field where they're basically a first down away from field goal range? And look, you elected to kick it earlier when you were down 8. Oklahoma State has 5 sacks in this game. They have 49 on the season. They're going to punt it and trust that defense one more time.
Wow.
I think you might as well, because it feels like you're giving Baylor 3 points here at least if you go ahead and go for it. So 4th and 4, Tommy Hutton on to kick it away for Oklahoma State. 4 minutes left.
I'll do my Joe Biden here. That's why you should have gone for that 4th and goal from the 3. Like, I mean, Mike Gundy, you had your opportunity to try to tie this game up, and you kicked the 3, and now you punt it back
now,
to Baylor.
Now, I mean, it's like your hand is forced there. It's like, what are you going to do? I know everybody's like, go for it here. It's like, what the hell are you going to do at this standpoint? You put yourself in jail with that decision, as you mentioned earlier.
Again, Dave Aranda, Mike Gundy, they can coach me in and out of circles. They can run circles around us when it comes to coaching. We understand that. But Dave Aranda made a terrible decision to give life to Oklahoma State. And then when they get the life, it looks like Mike Gundy didn't want it. So
it
just feels like right here, two teams vying for the college football playoff, for the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
For the chance to win the national championship, you got to win this game
because
first.
Whoever wins this game, you got to think is going to be number 5. But I did just kind of tweet, Notre Dame looking in the playoff is looking better. It seems like all the time here. So, now I'm getting people tweeting that I do not want that to happen. I want whatever is not going to make that happen. Some anti-Irish backers out there.
But it is interesting. And again, these numbers are going to change. But when you look at Notre Dame, 25-1 to win the national championship. And the reason why we bring up these numbers is, yes, there is a pathway now. If this holds, if two-loss Baylor wins this game, and it comes to one-loss Notre Dame, okay, and their only loss potentially could be to another team in the college football playoff,
right,
Cincinnati, is that better than potentially two-loss Baylor if they hold on to win this conference.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take a two-loss Baylor over Notre Dame if that decision happens to occur here. So we shall see. By the way, I was looking for a price at BetMGM. At this stage of the game, you're basically getting money line and not a lot of spread action here with under 4 minutes to go. Baylor minus $5 on the money line, plus 333, as Pat Foley of the Chicago Blackhawks broadcast team would say, on Oklahoma State.
You mentioned you might need that garbage time touchdown here for Kent State to get that over in the second half total. Well, don't look now. Or you can look. Third and goal for the Golden Flashes right here. Obviously, two down territories. They trail 38-10. They're going to have a fourth
and they're going to have to go for it. Yeah, this comes down to it because they got stopped. They absolutely, you know, got easy yards down the field. But when you get in the red zone, kind of bogging down here, Northern Illinois trying to make a stand. But this is basically for the second half total. There is 5 minutes left to go. But
you got to feel like this is probably the last best
effort. Yeah, Kent State down 28 is not kicking. So no. Dustin Crum going to be in the shotgun. We will see what they run. It is 38-10 right now, and they're going to try a reverse.
It's not going to get there.
Yeah, I think he crossed the plane.
Did he get there?
Was the knee down? The ball was extended, so we'll see.
It is a touchdown.
Put him up, ref. There we go. Second half over. How
Bang.
About that?
Cash is just like that. I'm sure they will review this. It was literally extending that ball over the goal line, but if you had a second half over ticket.
Yeah, he faked the reverse here, the guy on the pitch. It was like an end around, and that's going to be close.
It's going to be very close. We'll see if that touchdown holds. We'll give you an update when you come back with us. This is why you got to stay right here. Betting Across America. We got all the live numbers as they change right here in VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have a new prop tracker now available at VSiN.com for you to keep up with key NFL props. Head over to VSiN.com to get the current odds as well as the movement each week to follow the trends and find the best value. Track the odds for MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and much, much more. Check out the prop tracker betting splits, key trends, and matchup data for every game now at VSiN.com/NFL. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. Betting Across America, as we left you, the drama of Wes's second half overplay in the Maction championship game, the call in the field stood.
Mm-hmm.
You, sir, have a winner.
Got one on the board here, so 38-17, about 4 minutes left to go. Northern Illinois going to try to run out the clock, recovered the onside kick. By the way, we are underway here in Southern California in Los Angeles, where San Diego State is hosting Utah State. And there I showed my boy, Matt Ariza, the punter. A weapon is Matt Ariza. San Diego State, by the way, goes 3-and-out on their opening drive, all tied at 0. The closing number here at BetMGM, I believe, was 6.5 on San Diego State. It was 6.5, 49.5, your total.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on as that game has now kicked off. And the big drama here, obviously, barring a miracle, it does look like that Northern Illinois is going to win the MAC championship here. But really, everything hanging in the balance right now down there at Jarrah World right now in the Big 12 title game. Mike Gundy's starting to use his timeouts. It's a third and long for Baylor. So one timeout left for the Cowboys, but still plenty of time here. That really won't be the issue. The issue will be, can Oklahoma State get one more score and figure out? Because look, if it's a one-loss Oklahoma State and they win Bedlam, and then they win the Big 12, that might oust Notre Dame.
And,
so those people have got future plays.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And obviously, if one of Alabama loses to Georgia or Cincinnati loses, then they're definitely going to be in that top four is Oklahoma State. So, look, Mike Gundy going to try to rely on that defense. That's basically what they've done all year, even despite the fact that I believe they have four turnovers, almost out of fifth. Four interceptions from Spencer Sanders, and they still have a chance if they can get one more stop here. 3:39 left to go. It is 3rd and 15 on Baylor's 22.
Baylor run the ball. That's what they're going to do, and let's see if Mike Gundy opts to use his last timeout. He does not run the ball, but he throws a safe pass here. Will not pick up the first down yardage, but the clock does run here. Oklahoma State does take their last timeout.
Yeah, they'll go ahead and take it and not save it for offense. So 3:32 left to go. You know what? Here's what's going to happen, Dave.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
All these decisions by Mike Gundy to kick that field goal, the decision not to go for it, The decision, even the punt, which I more agreed with than the one kicking the field goal 8 minutes ago, he's going to get rewarded.
Wow.
I just got a feeling Oklahoma State's scoring here, and they're going to win this ball game.
That would not be good news for yours truly with the pizza money on Baylor money line.
I don't want to be the wet blanket, though.
No.
And I don't want that to happen because I got that second half under.
And I'm with you because I get that feeling like they've literally had nine lives and they might have used up eight of them, but they still have one more.
It's like they're going to get rewarded for absolutely doing the wrong thing and Dave Aranda, but on the same time, that would punish Dave Aranda for that decision, 21-6, to go for it. It's like, you get what you deserve sometimes.
I kind of felt that same way, Wes. I was like, right when Dave Aranda decided to go for that inside his own territory, up 21-6, midway through the third quarter, I went, I'm probably going to lose that wager. And if I'm a Baylor backer, you deserve it with decisions like that. Oklahoma State will have the ball inside right about the 10-yard line with 3.5 minutes to go and no timeouts. We'll take a deep breath. Let's go back out to Ben Faulks. He's over at Mandalay Bay. Ben, I'm still just beside myself for Dave Aranda making that decision there. I'm sure that there's a lot of tension there for Oklahoma State backers that probably played this money line because you got to feel like, boy, they can't cover barring a miracle at this stage, but the money line play is still in play for the Cowboy backers.
Yeah, you're really looking at the Oklahoma State gets the touchdown, gets the two-point conversion with enough time for Baylor, get the ball back, go down, kick that field goal, and get into overtime because that's really the only way you're covering that 5.5 or 6. Like you guys are talking about with that questionable decision-making, I think at the end of the first half too, right, I believe they were up 21-6. They kept throwing these jump balls in the end zone. Just run the ball a little bit, get closer for that field goal, which ended up being blocked. Mm-hmm. Again, that made it a 15-point game, not a 3-score game. They missed a field goal later as well, which could have extended the lead, but they could really use that 3 points right now. Seemed like they were really going for the kill at the end of the first half, but man, that 3 points would be nice instead of going for that extra 7 to make it 28-6.
And no question, Ben, and again, you see here, when you look at the most bet teams today by ticket and handle, Oklahoma State was the third most popular choice across the board, Ben. So I'm sure the books won't be very upset if Oklahoma State does not cover that in that miracle scenario that you just described, correct?
No, and again, you understand why the public would be taking that, right? Baylor, the freshman quarterback, comes out, what was he, 9-for-9, 10-for-10 to start, looks amazing. Handicapping the game pre-flop, that's probably not what most public bettors are looking at. They're saying, oh, freshman quarterback, you know, going against Oklahoma State, high-powered offense, good defense, only 5.5, 6 points, seems like a layup. And, you know, as we've seen, Oklahoma State, I don't believe, has led at any point in this game and really is going to have an uphill climb now to anywhere close to covering the spread.
Yeah, absolutely. They've struggled mightily all afternoon long.
They have, and really now Baylor's got to get another stop on defense, 1st and 10 from their own 20 for Oklahoma State. Baylor has looked very Iowa today. It's almost like they should be put into one of the New Year's Six games, no matter what happens. Four interceptions on defense. The offense started okay, as Ben mentioned, with this quarterback, backup quarterback. Really good punting game, and then hanging on for dear life.
I'll see if they can hang on 2nd and 10 right now for Oklahoma State. 3 minutes and 11 seconds to go in regulation. Ben, let's get a feel for what we've seen wagering-wise here between Wake Forest and Pittsburgh in the ACC title game. This number held at 3 all week long, and then yesterday you saw the money just start to come in on Pittsburgh. Is that what you've seen again today?
Yeah, this was a pretty much a flat 3 across the board. You guys can update what's happening behind me in that Big 12 championship game. Pretty much a flat 3 across the board. We've seen it tick up to 3.5. At BetMGM, they had 53% of the bets, 60% of the handle on Pittsburgh. So likely public and the wise guys on the same side most likely here. An interesting game. Again, you're not exactly sure what to expect with Pitt and Kenny Pickett have played well, have had some duds, and Wake Forest, same thing with that high-powered offense. But both teams 10-2 straight up, and Pitt, one of the darlings for cashing bets this season, as you see there, 9-3 against the number. So I think that's probably what people are looking at, the public, especially in backing Pittsburgh, in one of the, I don't want to say lower profile games today, but probably one that otherwise the public has forgotten about, put on the back burner with some other big games, including Georgia and Alabama coming up.
Yeah, that ACC title game has gotten kind of swallowed here because, look, it even got swallowed for the TV because usually you get on that ACC title game because it's usually Clemson and college football playoff contention. You didn't get Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler on that game. They were out here for the Pac-12 title game and then right back in Atlanta for and our buddy Chris Felico along for the ride there on Saturday. So, look, that game is not as high profile. Probably could be high scoring and exciting, but going against Iowa, Michigan, Michigan could get in the playoff for the first time in Harbaugh's tenure. This game gets absolutely ignored, but it really shouldn't. It probably should be a very fun game.
It should be. And again, Kenny Pickett, outside shot to still win this Heisman Trophy. If it can put up massive numbers today, maybe Bryce Young struggles against Georgia. We'll see how that follows those game scripts. All right, Ben, enjoy the last 2 minutes. Buckle up. It's getting crazy over there at Mandalay Bay. We hear it here at Circa. Right now, Oklahoma State has a first and 10 at the Baylor 30. 2 minutes to go. So enjoy the madness that's going to be for the final couple minutes here. And again, you mentioned it. You had the feeling this is the type of game that they might reward somehow Mike Gundy for. But you got to feel like Notre Dame right now, their college football playoff chances are hanging on by Baylor if they can hang on by a thread.
Now, and this is going to be interesting here, because now Baylor's kind of in that no man's land where it's like, okay, they got three timeouts here.
Do we start taking them?
Do you start taking them? Because it's like you want to leave yourself time for offense. Obviously, if you turn them over, the game is over. But you're obviously giving timeouts to a team, too, that doesn't have any. So that's really – this is that tough decision. So that's going to be decided here on this one, as Oklahoma State, I believe, is going to have third and one right here. We shall see what happens. Still no score in the Mountain West Championship game. My boy Matt Araiza, the Aztecs punter, who's averaging like 51 point something on the season, only a 41-yarder that time. So I've put the mush on Matt Araiza.
Okay, by the way, to your point about Baylor, Dave Aranda just opted to take his first time out
on a third and one.
It's curious. That's very curious to me. Now, again, maybe it could be to let your defense catch the breath.
Yeah.
Because now, again, you still got to get that one if you're Oklahoma State here. Okay, so a minute 48, no timeouts for the Cowpokes. Baylor still has two in a five-point game. So, again, barring a miracle, Baylor's going to cash if you took the 6.5 in or seven. But if you have Baylor money line like me, you're hanging on.
This is going to be determining here. Like, if Oklahoma State gets the first down, you know, depending on how much they get, obviously, if you stop them, then you try to stop them. But you wonder if they get into let them score territory.
Whoa.
I don't think that they're quite there yet.
No.
Though.
Okay, we'll find out how that plays out. When we come back here on Visa, I'm going to hear from the Mirage's Director of Trading, Jeff Stoneback, next right here. We got a lot of drama. Don't go anywhere. It is Betting Across America on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. I mean, my goodness, do we have drama. Right now, third and goal, Oklahoma State at the one-yard line of Baylor. Mm-hmm. No timeouts for either team. Tick, 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 tick. 40 seconds and counting.
Well, and the goal line fade, the worst play in football, gets rewarded with a pass interference. Oklahoma State trying to run tempo here. It is now going to be third and goal as Sanders is going to roll out.
Oh!
Not going to find a receiver. Ball batted
away. One play.
One play for the Big 12 championship and playoff hopes on the line, obviously, for Oklahoma State.
Oh, my goodness. And Notre Dame.
And now we were in that spot where it's like, okay, does Baylor let him score? Well, now, I mean, You stuck it with your defense, so here you are in this scenario, one play for Dave Aranda's guys.
I just want to know what they're going to call here. Is it going to be a running play? Like, to me, a rollout scenario here for Oklahoma State feels risky at best. What's your best play? What's your best play, Mike Gundy, to possibly go to the college football playoff?
I think you probably got to do the same thing where you got to get Sanders maybe on the move here. You don't want him stuck in that pocket and potentially, you know, get a sack here. So I think you got to try to get him on the move. I think there is a timeout.
I didn't believe there were any timeouts left for
either
team.
Yeah, there aren't. I don't know what is going on here.
What
the play clock's running.
What is the stoppage of play here? Because, again, there was 8 seconds to go in the play clock.
We're all confused. Ball of confusion. That's what the world is today, as the Temptations once.
This is nuts. So it's fourth and goal right here. We're going to keep it right here because, obviously, everything is on the line. They're running an inside handoff, and it looks like he's going to get to the corner. Oh, my goodness. I think he's short.
He is going to mark him short
because
he was trying to reach out, and I think that ball went out of bounds at the one-yard line.
What a goal line stand by Baylor. Let's see if this holds. It will be up for review.
That, I mean, he had the corner there. It's like he's got to beat him, and it's like he had a piano on his back or something.
You remember this well as an Indiana backer here against Penn State last year. Kind of threw the ball to the pylon.
That's the is he going to get the Michael Penix spot there?
Let's see what this going to be reviewed. I think it's short. Did the pylon move? So much is hanging in the balance on this review right here, Wes, but the initial call on the field is short.
Mm-hmm.
And if this call holds, Baylor will win.
Yeah, he's short.
The Big 12. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Woo! We're going to exhale, wait and see if that call does hold. But right now, it is a pleasure to welcome back into the program Jeff Stoneback. He is the Mirage Director of Trading BetMGM. Jeff, I'm trying to get my voice and my calm here. What do you make so far of what you've seen in this Big 12 title game?
What a game. Want to come back here, but I think you guys are right. Yeah, in fact, Baylor's lining up right now, so it was short. But unfortunately, the bettors, they were on the other side there, so they're going to go down here in the first game, big game of the day.
And again, with a little quarterback sneak here, there are no timeouts. This game is officially over. Baylor will cash those tickets, 21-16 the final.
And I think that's probably going to eliminate the Big 12 conference officially for the playoffs. So a very good result for Notre Dame.
Yes.
Still a good result for Cincinnati. Cincinnati now really in the win and end spot.
Okay, so again, we'll find out. We've never had a two-loss team make it to the college football playoff. Baylor will make their case with this win today as they go to 11-2.
How about Baylor, by the way, at BetMGM to start the season? Let me update a couple of these conference odds. 50-1 to win the Big 12 conference. Dave Aranda does it in his second year down in Waco.
Wow.
Northern Illinois, by the way, that game is a final score, 41-23 over Kent. Northern Illinois, 250-1. They're the first team to win a conference championship after going winless the previous season.
All right, Jeff, let's go back to the conversation. Certainly, when you look at the tickets that were being held by the majority of the public today, as you mentioned, Oklahoma State was the third most bet team by both ticket and handle today. Let's go up the list here. Let's go to the number two most bet team today. That is Michigan. And we've seen the steam come in on Michigan against Iowa in this Big Ten title game. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, we opened that game 10.5, and they've driven it up to 12.5. So the book is going to be big Iowa fans here. We've got actually about five times as much money on Michigan than we do Iowa, and obviously the ticket count's up there also. So, you know, just one of those things that the public, you know, whatever they saw last. So last week they saw them handle Ohio State. So, you know, that's driven that line up. But it's a lot of points there, getting 12.5 points there in the title game for Iowa.
Jeff, two big games here about a little less than a half hour from kicking off here, the SEC and the American. Let me start with the American game. It is Cincinnati at home against at Nippert Stadium against Houston. Houston's won 11 in a row. Seeing 10.5 at BetMGM and pretty much market-wide, total 52.5. What are you seeing so far in the patterns on this game?
Actually, I'm a little surprised. We are going to actually need Cincinnati on this game. I thought the public would be betting back in Cincinnati. So we have about a 3-2 ticket count here on Houston, and the money is 2-1. So public is, you know, likes those the points, but a surprise to me because I thought we would come into this game definitely needing Houston.
Yeah, I am surprised by that as well. I would have assumed the other way, too. We've talked a little bit about the ACC title game here between Pittsburgh and Wake Forest. And, Jeff, it felt like this line held most of the week with Pittsburgh -3. But then maybe it's getting a little bit ignored today with all these other games, the Big 12 title game, and certainly the SEC. But then Pittsburgh did start taking some of the money. Is that what you've seen today?
Yeah, a little bit of money is now starting to trickle in on Pittsburgh. Like you said, it has been ignored a little bit. But, you know, once this Georgia game is off, so we'll only have the two title games at 5 o'clock. So, you know, we'll have pretty good action on that when people cash on the earlier games. But, yeah, money is coming in right now on Pittsburgh. We do need Wake Forest in this game. So we're looking at about a 2-1 ticket count on Pittsburgh. And the money we're looking at 3-1 on Pittsburgh right now. But not nearly as bet as much as the other games. But as I said, once this Georgia game is over and there's only a couple games left, we'll have plenty of action on them.
Jeff, before we get to the SEC Championship, which is kind of the main event on the card today, is now we are starting to see, not at BetMGM yet, but starting to see some of those 6.5s maybe disappear. Ooh. So you're saying, okay, is this going to get to 7? We're like, no way this is getting to 7 because there'd be an avalanche there. But Jeff, I do want to ask you in terms of BetMGM on the futures market with the team still live from the playoff, that being, of course, Georgia and Alabama, Michigan still right there, Cincinnati still there, Notre Dame obviously still there. Do you have any real big liability to any of those five teams?
Not too bad. Actually, we do have some liability on Cincinnati because they've been kind of like the Cinderella all season long. So, you know, obviously their odds are pretty high. So that's really about the only team that could hurt us is Cincinnati. Obviously, Georgia and Alabama and Michigan, they've been up there, you know, kind of low odds as favorites or whatnot. So anytime that happens, it's usually pretty good for the books. But you get a long shot in there that sneaks in there. And, you know, Cincinnati, like I said, being the Cinderella, took quite a few tickets on them and had some longer odds. So they're about the only team that we're really rooting against.
All right, 14-1 right now for the Bearcats to go ahead and win the national championship. Let's get right to it, that heavyweight matchup between Georgia and Alabama. And again, I mean, Jeff, you just don't see Alabama getting points, period, let alone getting almost a touchdown here. Do you expect this to change before kickoff, or are we going to just hold right here at 6.5?
Well, we are at 6.5, but yeah, as I'm looking at the screen, there's other places now going to 6. So money seems to be coming in, you know, across the country on Alabama here. I guess it was kind of like a wait and see thing if that thing can ever get to 7, you know. But obviously, it's getting close to game time, so those people realize, hey, that game's not going to 7, so let's get in at the 6.5 right now. So, you know, but we are. Very one-sided on Georgia right now. I mean, the money on that is we've taken some large six-figure wagers on this game, so we're looking at a 15-to-1 ratio on the money on Georgia, and the ticket count is just a little over a 2-to-1 on there. So the public has been early, you know, in on Georgia, but you know, that money starts creeping in right now on Alabama. People realizing they're not going to get that 7, so grab that 6.5 while you can before it goes to 6.
Yeah.
You know, you get almost a touchdown with Nick Saban in a championship game. That works out almost all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, people waiting on that 7, they're going to have to keep waiting because it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a mighty long time. You can maybe get it in game if right. Georgia scores, but that's the only time you're going to get that number.
All right, the Mirage Director of Trading, Jeff Stoneback. Really appreciate the time and the information. Enjoy the rest of the games today, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
All right, of course, because it is bowl season here, the VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every single bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights and trends and data and predictions to help you with your best bets. This guide is designed to give you an edge, whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value prop scenarios. This guide drops December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Still no score between San Diego State and Utah State, but the MAC championship is over. That goes to Northern Illinois. And the Big 12 title game is over. Baylor gets that win.
Yeah, 4 conference champions crowned so far. The 2 from last night, Utah was 6-1 to open the season at BetMGM in the Pac-12. UTSA, the Roadrunners get it done. They were 3-1 to win Conference USA. And then I mentioned the 2 today, Baylor 50-1 to start the season to win the Big 12 now. And Dave Aranda's second year getting it done. And Northern Illinois, dead last in the conference, 250-1. From the outhouse to the penthouse in Maction.
So many fortunes might have changed with one fourth down and goal from the 1 yard line, including Notre Dame's, because all of a sudden, chaos might have started to begin on this chaotic championship Saturday. Wow. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about Cincinnati and what they have to do against Houston. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks using the code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any college football game and any team simply scores a touchdown. BetMGM is always ready to help you go for gridiron glory. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets when you bet $10 on any college football game and any team scores a touchdown. It's time to turn a big play into an even bigger payday. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. This is Betting Across America. And right now, the only game in progress here in college football, Utah State against San Diego State. It just came down. But we're seeing that total come down because so far, Wes, no points here as Utah State gets the ball back after another San Diego State punt.
And this is San Diego State's wheelhouse here. Play good defense, keep getting stops, see if you can get something in the running game, and use our boy, the punter, Matt Ariza, to go ahead and play the field position game. And look, you never see a punter because, by the way, every time I look up at the television coverage of this game, they are showing a close-up of my man here on the sidelines.
You nailed
it. He is Ray Guy.
He is.
Or Shane Leckler or Pat McAfee.
Well, he's got to become a Raider one day there. Ray Guy, Shane Leckler.
Absolutely. Marquette King was a good punter for the Silver and Black for a while. So no score yet. 3:26 left to go. Utah State with the football.
So, again, not that there's a lean either way because it's pretty much where it was pre-flop here, 6.5. With the live adjusted total, but you do feel like this is the game script Brady Hoke wants to implement.
Yeah, absolutely. He wants a low scoring game. Utah State likes to throw it a little bit all over the yard as they're trying to do there.
Yeah, just got a big
and
play.
I believe they did just get a deep ball. This, of course, Logan Bonner, the former Arkansas State quarterback, playing once again for his former head coach, Blake Anderson, who's now here in Logan. That was a nice, beautiful deep ball and a good hands by that receiver. So now Utah State slightly in San Diego State territory.
And very quickly, no score in between Appalachian State and Louisiana Lafayette as they have kicked off as well. But in about 20 minutes, and again, we always put this in context to the college football playoff, the dominoes have to fall for these teams outside of the top four in order to get in. One of those dominoes for Notre Dame probably just happened with Baylor getting the upset win against Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Notre Dame today, are you rooting for Houston? I mean, you would think, yeah, of course you're rooting for Houston to beat Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But there is a scenario that both Cincinnati and Notre Dame could both get in the
Yeah, and at the same time, then it's like, okay, your one loss looks a little bit different.
That's
because
right.
Then it's like, hey, we told you about Cincinnati. You know, we told you that eventually that they were going to, you know, have the shoe drop or that they were going to stub their toe here. So, look, I think at this point now, Notre Dame's best friend is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm.
If the Georgia Bulldogs beat Alabama, I know some people think they're going to put a two-loss Alabama over Notre Dame. I'm not quite sure. Even though Alabama does have a better resume when you look at what they've won, they have beaten Ole Miss, and that Ole Miss team is going to be in the top 10 in the college football rankings tomorrow, currently where they are now. So if you look at resumes, Alabama has more good wins in terms of beating Mississippi State, beating Ole Miss, beat an okay Tennessee team, beat Arkansas, of course, beat Auburn. So wow. Alabama, I still think even with that resume, I know people are saying that's really impressive resume, but with two losses, I don't think that they're going to jam Cincinnati necessarily. We'll see if they do it with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame right now, 14-1 to win the national championship. Okay, it's very interesting that we just put those schedules back-to-back because that potentially, depending on what happens here at Nippert Stadium, we'll find out how that game goes here in about 20 minutes. Potentially with what happens there, that could be the resumes that the committee's got to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama potentially two loss if they lose to Georgia today, over one loss Notre Dame. Do you penalize Alabama for playing in an SEC title game against a potentially generational defense?
Yeah.
Right? And Notre Dame, because they're not in a conference, they don't have that extra game to play.
That's what it's hard to do because, look, it's like, okay, if Alabama loses, they lost to Georgia. They lost to the number one team.
You didn't play.
But they also have a loss to Texas A&M that doesn't look as good maybe as it did several weeks ago because, look, Texas A&M dropping to LSU and looking at their record, Aggies are an okay team, but they're 8-4.
Right.
So it's not like that's, like, considered a good loss for Alabama. So, you know, we'll see how the permutations go around. We know, obviously, if Georgia wins, they will be the number one seed tomorrow afternoon when this is finally announced. A couple in-game scores to announce. Louisiana Lafayette does strike first. They are up 7-0. Louisiana Lafayette minus 2.5, 57.5. Remember, App State did close a small road favorite here in Lafayette, Louisiana. And also, no score yet with Utah State and San Diego State. Utah State does have the football, though. 2 minutes left to go. San Diego State minus 4.5, 41.5 on the total.
All right, looks like Utah State potentially primed to get points are about the 25-yard line of San Diego State. Okay, let's go back out to Mandalay Bay. Ben Fox has been standing by with us all afternoon long there. So, Ben, we're kind of workshopping this thing here with the drama that we just saw in the Big 12 title game for Notre Dame backers. That's obviously a good result there. I got to imagine, yeah, they're rooting for Georgia to beat Alabama here, and I'm sure they're also rooting for Houston to pull that upset today against Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's one of the things, you know, day to day, year to year, right? The college football playoff always changes. And it seems like this year there's almost more than there usually is in terms of what could actually happen. Obviously a giant domino there with Oklahoma State losing. And I should mention as well, a couple of large wagers on Oklahoma State also going down with that, including a $275,000 wager on Oklahoma minus 5.5 and a $100,000 wager on Oklahoma State minus 6. So we see there on the graphic, they were the third most bet team or side, excuse me, today in terms of tickets and in terms of handle at BetMGM Books, some of that handle in those two large bets that I just mentioned. So not good for those Oklahoma State backers there. I think this is just a fascinating game, Alabama and Georgia. You had Jeff Stoneback just on talking about 15-1 the money on Georgia.
Wow.
When's the last time Alabama had a game where there was 15 times as much money on the other team on the spread? I think it's just going to be a fascinating game on the field and from a betting perspective.
No question about it, Ben. And again, you know, I guess you could say you get lucky if you're a Baylor backer on the money line there. I am just glad to know that those people that lost those big wagers didn't lose it on the money line. Because if it came down to that one play, at fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, and it looks like you got the corner and you can't get to the corner, that would be a really tough way to go. But at least I think they knew their fate was sealed a little bit earlier in the day. All right, Ben, we'll get back to you over there at Mandalay Bay throughout the rest of this afternoon. We mentioned that Utah State was primed to get points, missed the field goal. We've come to the end of the first quarter there. Still scoreless between San Diego State and Utah State.
Yeah, it is. And now San Diego State minus 4.5 total all the way down to 37.5. Kind of used to seeing those low totals with the Aztecs. Look, 49.5.
Wow.
I mean, that looked like 70 for like the Aztecs if you've watched this team play. A lot of games, you know, kind of going under that 40. And I know we've talked to a few people. It's like, man, you got to almost blindly bet the over when you get a college football below 40. But we saw with the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe last week, Wisconsin-Minnesota, ended up hanging around early start to the over, but ended up only having 38. So this does look like a very low-scoring game in the Mountain West title.
So is that the caution you would give for the in-game wager out there that they see 38.5 right now?
They
go, oh, my goodness, pre-flop is almost 50, and now you're giving me 11 bonus points here.
Right.
But don't just hop on that,
right? Well, because that's what I talked about in terms of Brady Hoke will use that punter, Matt Ariza. I know we keep going back to him. He will use him as a weapon.
Yes.
He will not hesitate and, you know, have him go out there and say, okay, let's play field position and turn this into a field position game. And at least early on, that's what it is.
All right. So that's, again, for the in-game wager out there, just because you see that total inch down below 40, that Brady Hoke's going to use special teams to his advantage here. Milk clock, run clock, control the pace of the game. And that's why with that missed field goal by Utah State, it plays even into it even more. So, again, Utah State getting 4.5 here, but that total is 38.5.
We're going to hit a break here in about a minute and just want to update kind of what the betting patterns are going for these two games that are going to kick off here at 1 o'clock Pacific. Georgia-Alabama, by the way, that'll be 110, so you still got a little bit of time. A little bit of late movement to the over on Houston-Cincinnati. It did go down to 52, starting to see some 53s and 52.5s. I'm on the under at 54 from earlier in the week. Pretty much 10.5 in the marketplace. There are a couple 10s out there, or 10.5 minus for even for Cincinnati. So juicing it to the Houston side for that extra hook. And then still 6.5 at BetMGM and a few other stores, but starting to get some late Alabama money. They realize the 7-1 coming. Maybe if you're liking Alabama, you got to take it now, or that's what bettors are feeling. So starting to get the 6. 49 current total at BetMGM.
Be very curious to see where those tickets, the buyback coming in for Alabama here, where that number ends up right before we get to kickoff. Come on back right here, Betting Across America. We will talk a little bit more about the Heisman Trophy and whether or not it really is still in the balance today for guys like Bryce Young, or if anybody else, maybe Kenny Pickett, can sneak into that conversation. Come on back, Betting Across America, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.